speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, whenever the temperatures warm up, you know how I feel about that. Springtime and summertime is my time of the year, and the fact that I just don't care for the cold. And I can handle the warmer weather much more than I can the winter. And while I love the warm weather and look forward to summertime, I must admit that there is an angle to that that I'm not particularly happy about. And that is what we find whenever it is hottest, people seem to be most immodest. People tend to not cover themselves up, to adorn themselves in a manner that would be pleasing and acceptable to God. Now, that's not everyone. But at the same time, we live in a world today where that it seems like more and more we're moving in the realm of immodesty. And friends, that bothers me as a gospel preacher. That bothers me as a man who has sought diligently to raise his family and to keep our minds pure in the sight of our God. You know, I believe that the path to purity in all matter of life deals with modesty. Are we living a modest life, and are we adorning ourselves in a modest manner? Tonight, what I want us to do, I want us to look at what we find from human reasoning, where we are as a world, and then also I want us to go into the Bible and to see what God has to say on this particular subject matter. When we look at the world of which we live in, I believe that a majority allow modern customs to govern their dress. And in that, I want us to realize is that it's not safe for us to go according to the majority. Why? Because only a few are going to be found faithful in the sight of God whenever we stand before Him in judgment. And it's not always right to go according to what is customary. It's not always right to go according to modern customs, especially because mankind's customs change continually. In fact, what we find here is that many then not only rely upon the customs of the day to govern how they're going to dress, but sometimes people will even allow their conscience to be their guide. And in that, I want to suggest for our consideration tonight is that if we have not had our conscience steered according to the Bible, that our conscience may not be the safest of God. And sometimes, even if we have had that training, is that we've got to be very careful because sometimes our conscience is steered then according to what we find in society. So our conscience, whether or not we feel as if something is suitable, as if something is pleasing to God, we've got to be very cautious with that because in reality, oftentimes, it is not what God would expect. Sometimes even we find is that people will go according to what the popular trends are amongst their generation. And the thing that I remember back when we were still living in Pennsylvania and Miranda was a young lady attending a public school and trying to go out and to find clothing for her to wear that was modest, one thing that kept coming up that we were finding time and time again were these hip huggers. And she was opposed to that as well as we were opposed to that because of what they were trying to display, what they were seeking to reveal amongst those ladies, those young ladies even who were buying those things. So whenever we find trends or popular trends amongst our generation of which we are part of, again, we've got to go back and to say, are those things in line with God, or are those things something that man is seeking to push in order to build out a cultural acceptance of where they want society to end up? Others choose to dress according to situations of which they find themselves in. And friends, I want us to understand that the Bible, God tells us, is that we are not to play situational ethics. We are not to build our morals based off of situations that we find ourselves in life. But rather, our morals and our ethics are to be stern in regard to where we stand as Christians. And no matter what situation we find ourselves in, is that we've got to go back and to say, I'm a Christian first and foremost, and I'm going to stand morally and I'm going to stand from an ethical standpoint to the glory and to the honor of our God. I believe that there are a number of things that we need to consider from a biblical standpoint, offering biblical guidance. And to begin with, I want to identify that God sees and cares about what people wear publicly. And whenever I state that publicly, I believe that there are indeed things that we can do, things that we can wear or dress, if you would, as we are in the privacy of our own homes. But at the same time, whenever it comes to the public realm, God identifies in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 is that He sees all things. All things are naked or revealed unto His sight. And as the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, in giving instructions to ladies about properly adorning themselves, I believe that a part of that communication is a conveyance that God is very much aware, because God is speaking through Paul to Timothy by way of inspiration. God is very much aware of how women were adorning themselves, and friends, in that He gives them some instructions of which we will look at later on in the context and confines of this message. As we go on and think about this biblical guidance, I believe that it is imperative also for us to realize that God supplies instructions for all manner of life. I want to go back to what we oftentimes will cite from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17, in speaking again unto the apostle or unto Timothy, the young evangelist. Paul, an apostle, says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God." Literally, we take that to mean, and rightfully so, is that God spoke by these men, and that this is His message in the Scripture. He goes, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped into every good work." What's He saying? He is identifying that not only has God communicated to us, but in communicating to mankind, He's giving us everything that we need to know as it pertains to not only our relationship with God, but as it deals with our life, our existence here in this world. Again, we would go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where again by way of inspiration, Peter this time, it says that God, His divine power is given unto us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness. Going right along with what Paul has said to Timothy. Now, we understand in Peter's epistle that he is saying as much as well, is that God gives us things that we need to know. And friends, this also applies whenever it comes to our dressing ourselves in a modest way versus going according to the immodest manners that we find in this world. You see, not only does God give us these things, God expects, and I'm going to take it to another level here, God commands us as Christians to adhere to these rules. Whenever we look to the rules of behavior in life, how that we are to treat our fellow man, we need to understand that we need to love and respect one another. And not only to understand it, but to apply it. And the same principle then would be applicable whenever we talk about adorning ourselves, dressing ourselves in a modest manner, for a number of reasons, as we will also discuss as we get into the nuts and bolts of this lesson. You see, in all, what God is identifying to us is that someday we will stand before Him in judgment. And we say, and rightly so, is that all manner of life will be judged. But sometimes I fear that maybe we don't go back and examine or open those things up a little bit. You see, God's going to He's going to judge the way in which we worship Him. And therefore, that's why we want to make sure that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's going to judge the way that we conduct ourselves in our workplace, whether or not we are giving ourselves to our employer and being fair and giving them 100% while we're there. And therefore, we need to make sure that we're giving ourselves in that way. And in the same sense, God will judge the way in which we dress ourselves, as well as the effects, I believe that at least in part, that dress has had upon others. You see, whenever it comes to God versus mankind, man's views on morality are always evolving with time. man perceives in his heart what he wants to do. And as a result of that perception then, he justifies in his mind, and she, you could also throw the lady into that, he or she justifies in their mind as to, well, so-and-so is doing this, and if so-and-so is doing that, it's okay for me to do that as well. Or they might be the trendsetter and to say, well, this feels okay to me, and as long as it's all right with me, even though my parents have not gone according to that way, or maybe I've not even been so liberal in this in the past, now it seems okay to me, and therefore I'm going to go in that direction because now it's moral in my mind. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 25, that man of wisdom identifies by way of inspiration for us, is that there is a way that seems right to men, but the end thereof is a ways of death. You see, it's not man's ways that we are to concern ourselves with, but rather it is God's ways. And whenever it comes to our God, God's standards are superior to human reasoning. And Isaiah understood that in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 and verse 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God's ways are, they're it. No matter what we think, we've got to go back. If we really and truly believe in God and want to be pleasing to Him, we must go back and say, is that if God says something on these matters, then that settles it. And therefore, He is the superior judge, and we must adhere to the things that He advises. As we think with regard to man's ways versus God's ways, then in like figure, I want us to throw Satan into the equation, because he's always a part of the equation, whether or not we realize it or not, give credit to that or not. He's always out here lurking, and Satan utilizes seductive dress in order to allure the souls. And sometimes I don't think that women, especially ladies, you think in ways that men think, because as men, Brother Charles Brown, years ago, whenever we were going through the school of preaching, he said that men and women are wired differently. And in that, all of us guys, I remember sitting there thinking, and even some of us probably saying, and I might have been one of them, I'm not sure, thinking and saying, hey, you're right. And he says, and to that, to some degree, where we scratch our head at, as guys anyway. And at the same time, to some of that, we say, amen. And whenever it comes to dressing, a lot of times women will just put something on and they'll not think about maybe the effects that it will have on others, and especially upon the minds of mankind. You see, what the ladies need to realize, and even guys for that matter, is that Satan is using immodest apparel to get to the mind and get to the heart, and to get to that lust that is within the individual, their weakness. And therefore, friends, we need to be advised to this matter and to be aware of the concerns that come along with immodest dress. You see, the Bible makes it very clear when we think about God's ways versus mankind's, is that Christians must seek after God's will. And we find God's will continually defined for us in the New Testament Scripture. We must seek after that will and then do all that we possibly can to live in accordance to His will, because in the end, it is by His will that we shall be judged. Today, we do not live under the Old Testament law, but at the same time, it does us good to look back, does it not? To look back and to see some things that God identifies from the Old Testament Scripture. You know, God makes it clear in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, as well as Hebrews chapter 13 in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, that nakedness is only permissible in marriage. Outside of marriage, friends, that is sin in the sight of our God. It's sin to be undressed in the presence of somebody else other than the one that you are married to, scripturally married to, I might even add. And as a result of that, it's sinful to allow your mind to go into that realm to think of someone in a naked manner outside of the context of the husband and wife relationship. But within the marriage relationship, God says not only is it permissible, God says that it is a blessing. It is something that God gives us, a gift from God for the marriage relationship. Public nudity, according to what we find in Scripture, is repulsive and condemned by our God. Remember in the context after the flood, the Bible reveals to us is that Noah, of all men, he finds himself drunk. I mean, not to say finds himself, he drinks and gets drunk. And as a result of that, he lays down in the tent and his son Ham comes in and finds his father how? Finds him naked. And friends, the Bible identifies as that was repulsive in the sight of God. And God condemned not only, I believe, Noah because of the instance, but even Ham and Canaan, his descendants, as a result of that. And God uses situations such as that in the Old Testament Scripture for us to help us to understand the way in which God sees this craziness that we're finding in the world today. You know, each one must dress according to their gender too. Today we talk about people who are cross-dressers. And I remember years ago whenever we were working and living in Pennsylvania, there was a cross-dresser who came in one time and I'm going to say did himself up pretty well to look like a girl, but at the same time you could tell something just wasn't right. And I'll be quite frank with you, years and years ago whenever I was a young boy and we were going around Halloweening and trick-or-treating and things of that nature, myself and another guy said, let's dress up like ladies. And I put on a dress and put on makeup and a wig. And don't try to vision that, please. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I felt like a fool. You know why? Because it wasn't right. Because it's not meant for men to wear what a lady wears, and it's not right for a woman to present herself as a man. Somebody says, Kevin, wait a second, you're not politically correct in saying that. No, people, but I'm biblically correct in saying that, and I'll promise you that. God identifies to Israel in the days of old that they were not men to dress like a female and females to present themselves as a male. There are distinctions between us, and God says is that we need to adorn ourselves even in a manner that would identify those distinctions. You know, as we think about these things from the Old Testament, these are examples that are beneficial. They're not necessarily commanded per se. There are principles that certainly are applicable from a command standpoint. These things are beneficial for us today to be able to look back from and to draw references to. So let's come into the New Testament Scripture. What do we find? Going back to what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through verse 11, I believe it is. Like Christian ladies, in fact, God would want this of all ladies, but I emphasize Christians here. Christian ladies are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. What does that mean? I'm going to be a little more specific later on, but with regard to this, God says is that she needs to be aware of not only what she is wearing, but the effects that that attire can have upon others, upon men that she is surrounded by. Whether or not she's going to draw attention to herself. And in this context, it is suggested by some scholars is that in this setting, maybe they weren't necessarily putting on a lack of clothing, or it was a lack of clothing, but rather it's that they're putting on too much. In fact, some scholars go on to say is that it was in the putting up of the hair and in the putting of ornaments in the hair and such, is that the ladies were drawing attention to themselves. And therefore, biblically, what is God saying? He says, dress yourself in such a fashion where that it's not about you, but rather that it is about God and bringing glory and honor to our God. Whenever it comes to Christian men, whenever it comes to men in general, but again, specifically Christian men, we are to live our lives consecrated towards God. What's it mean to be consecrated? It means to be separated. The Apostle Paul, in writing to those in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4, he says in regard to sexual conduct, he says that men ought to learn to control their vessel unto sanctification and unto honor. And ladies, you play a large part in that as to the way in which you adorn yourself, whether or not we're going to look in those directions. And guys, even when ladies are not dressed as they ought to dress in a godly fashion, Guys, I'm going to tell you tonight, and I trust that most, if not all, know this, is that He still doesn't give us a right to look. Whenever David looked upon Bathsheba, a part of me says shame on her, but at the same time, shame on him for his looking upon her and then even upon his pursuit of her, and shame on them for going outside of the realm that would have been pleasing and acceptable to her God in their sinful relationship with each other. You see, God identifies in the New Testament Scripture that Christians must use their bodies to the glorification of our God. Everything that we do, every aspect of our life that is to glorify God. People ought to know that we are Christians, not because we walk up to them and say, I'm a Christian. There's nothing wrong with that, but at the same time, they ought to be able to look at us and to know that we are different, that we're distinct from the world of which we are living amongst. And therefore, let's do all that we can to glorify God through our bodies. In all, what God is saying is that He doesn't want us to be worldly focused. He does not want us to be fleshly focused, but rather He wants us to remain a pure mind. And that pure mind is to be spiritually focused upon realizing that we are blessed to be able to live in this world and to partake of the blessings that are not characterized as sin in this world. And as a result of that, then, is that we're looking beyond this world knowing that it's not it, and that God has something more superior, something greater for us prepared in heaven. I'm reminded of what Paul says in direction of this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, that our citizenship in reality is in heaven. You say, but Kevin, wait a second. As it's getting hotter, what would be the dangers of me dressing with short shorts or, you know, in such a way to where, if you're a lady, to where you're able to cool even your upper parts, if you would, for lack of a better way to say it. There are dangers in all of this. Immodest dress can lead to lustful thoughts by others. I've already stressed it, and I'm not going to go over it and belabor it tonight, but at the same time, ladies, think about the ways in which the men look at you. Whether you realize it or not, I'm telling you tonight as a man that it's a reality, is that you can tempt them to have lustful thoughts that would lead to them committing sin in the sight of God and even pulling a husband, sadly, away from his wife. But guys, my understanding in talking to some ladies, specifically my wife, is that sometimes the ladies can even be prone to look if guys are adorning themselves in an immodest manner. Immodest dress oftentimes results in sexual sin by a number of people. The guy looks upon the woman looks upon the man, and based out of what they see, they like it, and therefore not only do they like it, then they pursue it. And out of that pursuit, then they find themselves in a situation, they create that opportunity for them to come together in a way that's not going to glorify God. You see, the sin of immodest dress can even lead to greater sins, if you would, or more sin of getting involved sexually in a way that would be a dishonoring of the one that we are to honor and to glorify with our lives. Immodest dress may result even in church reproach. I remember situations that I've heard about and read about, sadly, throughout the brotherhood, where that people have addressed themselves in an immodest manner. And as a result of that, they become the talk of the community. And what's oftentimes communicated whenever the community's involved and it's a church member? They say, well, aren't they a member of the church over there? And if they are, guess what that does? That brings not only a mark on that person, but that brings a mark upon the body of Christ as well. And that sin needs to be taken care of in a public realm to the level of which it has been also committed. You see, also, I believe that it's important for us to realize is that immodest dress could even hinder our worship services. I remember a situation on one occasion. I'm not going to go into all the detail, but I remember a situation on one occasion with a congregation where that somebody approached me. It was a male member. And there was a lady who was not properly adorned. And what I mean by that is that she was wearing a miniskirt that came up to about right here. And the individual was forced to stand in the back, and they were a counter of the congregation. And in that, the person told me, as they drew me to the side, and they said, "Listen, how do you feel about people adorning themselves or properly dressing themselves?" And I said, "I think it's a must." He said, "What do you think about that right there?" And I said, "That needs to be straightened out." This lady was wearing something that was causing this man to look. And every time that the congregation would stand up, his eyes went that way. Well, shame on him, we might say. Well, shame on her. Shame on both of them, if you would. He needs to look the other way. But at the same time, she was hindering this man, I believe anyway, from properly being able to worship God. And the shoe can be on the other foot as well. Therefore, we've got to understand the dangers. And there's so many others that could have been involved in this. So tonight, before we conclude, or as we conclude the lesson, I'm going to give some spiritual direction that I believe that are principles that need to be applied. We need to dress in a way that is reasonable and not overly ridiculous. Going back to the fact that if indeed the scholars are correct, is that they were overdressing, and that's what Paul is addressing with Timothy back in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and such, we've got to be very careful not to put on something that's going to draw attention to ourselves. I'll give you a for instance out of myself here. The first year or two that we were here, we had a Valentine's get-together over in the annex. And in that, we said that it was going to be semi-formal, as best I can remember. And with that, I think a shirt and tie would have been appropriate, or even just a nice shirt and some slacks. Well, we had bought a tuxedo for me to wear whenever Trent and Amanda got married, and I wore that to their wedding. It was very appropriate there. And yet, at the same time that night, I thought to myself, "Hey, this is Valentine's. I'm going to go all decked out." And I put on my tuxedo. And whenever I walked into the door, everybody's like, "Ooh, okay, you're a little overdressed." That's kind of what I got. Drawing attention to myself. I got rid of the tuxedo, by the way. So we need to dress ourselves in a reasonable fashion and not in a ridiculous manner to where we make things about ourselves. But then also we need to dress in a way that is righteous and not revealing to the flesh. There's no place, no time and place, I believe, for a woman to show cleavage out in public. There's no time and place for a man, a boy even for that matter, to wear pants that are going to fall below his hips. I was behind somebody the other day here in our community, a guy who was walking with... had his pants down to right in through here, and he had a belt. And he had that belt drawn just as tight as he could possibly get it, or at least it looked like it to me. And he's walking along, and the pants go to slip, and he pulls them up. And he takes about four or five more steps, and he pulls them up. And I wanted so much to say to him, and had he been a member, I probably would have, "Wear your pants the way that God wants you to wear your pants, and you won't be pulling them up all the time. Dress ourselves according to righteousness and not according to a revealing manner that would cause one to look at us from a fleshly standpoint. You say, "Kevin, what are you trying to say?" We need to dress ourselves in a reverent way and not that which would be sinfully viewed as raunchy in the world of which we are part of. We have so many people in this world today who do not think about the way that they dress themselves or the consequences of those things. And as Christians, we should not enter into that, not even close, but to make sure that we are making the right steps in life, to make certain that we are representing the one that we claim to represent as Christians, and that is to be like Christ. You see, I'm encouraging tonight for us to dress in a reputable way, and not by that which is right by others. Dress in a modest way, not immodestly. but in a modest way, to the glory and honor of our God's name. In that, again, I thank you for your time. As gospel preachers, we are to preach the whole counsel of God. And this lesson tonight is a part of that. And as Christians, let's do all that we can to make sure that we properly adorn ourselves in a way that will glorify our Heavenly Father. The lesson kind of tonight is kind of like it was this morning. It's not about becoming a Christian, but responsibilities as Christians. And yet at the same time, every opportunity that we are together, we want to extend the Lord's invitation. The invitation is open 24 hours, 7 days a week. And what I mean by that is that if you decide to become a Christian after we leave here, you don't have to wait until the next time we get together. You call us. We'll meet you here. If you need to study, we'll study. And if you want to be baptized, we'll baptize you immediately. But the time that we have that we are together tonight, also, we want that maybe you're thinking, maybe you've been saying, you know, tonight's the night that I want to become a Christian. We want to extend that invitation to you this very hour. If you are an erring member in some way and you say, tonight's the night that I want to come back, we also will pray with you and for you. If you're subject to this invitation, the Lord's call tonight, please come as